Hi, everybody, and welcome back to a bite-sized political podcast, but a bit of a special one, because this is going to last a little bit longer than normal, because I want to analyse what happened overnight and the two English by-elections, and then I want to talk a little bit about some of what that might mean. So I hope you'll enjoy this longer than normal special podcast on what I've considered conservative wipeout, because that's what it is. Because as we had been talking about, friends, if you've been listening in the last several weeks, there were the two by-elections that happened yesterday, Tiverton and Honiton in the southwest of England and Wakefield up in the north of England. And guess what? Yes, the Tories lost both of them. The Conservatives gave up the previously ultra-safe Brexit-backing seat of Tiverton and Honiton to the Lib Dems, with, excuse me, a 23,000 or 24,000 majority, which the Conservatives held, being overturned and the Lib Dems winning by more than 6,000 votes. That's the largest majority, the biggest majority ever overturned in any by-election in British history. So it's a remarkable result, and it's a testimony to the deeply unpopularity of Boris Johnson, which we're going to talk about a bit more. So this is if there was a seat in the whole of England that you thought was safe, it would be this one for the Conservatives. Turns out, wasn't safe. Meanwhile, 270 miles to the northeast, the Conservatives lost Wakefield to Labour after holding the so-called Red Wall seat for just 3 years, with, in this case, the Labour candidate winning a near 5,000-seat majority. Previously, the previous Tory MP, Imran Khan, there's a name, had a 3,000-seat majority. So you can see the scale of what's happened. It's incredible. And there's an element of, I think, the media not quite being honest with you and explaining just how seismic these results are. They're huge, because the scale of defeat is off radar. You know, well, people talk about, oh no, David, you're exaggerating. Look, it's just midterm blues. No, it's not. It's not midterm blues. It's really, really not. Trust me. Any sensible conservative considering these results, these by-election results, will recognize a couple of things. The first and foremost, they're probably going to lose their seat in the next general election, which should come in 2024 or thereabouts. So they will no longer be MPs. There's the first thing for an MP, conservative MPs, to understand. And the second thing they need to understand is that the level of hatred of this conservative government. And that comes down, I'm afraid, or not as the case may be, to their detestation of the Prime Minister himself, Boris Johnson. Good old Bojo, good old Boris, is despised. And I believe that's probably been the single biggest factor in these by-election results. Now, I know that people are going to also then throw up the excuse, oh, but the circumstances were, you know, kind of unique here, because in the case of Wakefield, we had a Conservative MP who'd been jailed for child sex offences. Now, there's a surprise. And in the case of Tiverton Honiton, we had a Conservative MP who had to resign because he was caught watching porn in Parliament. So, I mean, yeah, exceptional circumstances. Well, are they? Is really? You don't think maybe some other MPs have issues, do you? That if they became public would result in the same level of excoriation? I don't know about that. The point about it is that, and then, of course, you know, it gets worse then, because the Conservative chairman, Oliver Dowden, has quit as his role after this result last night. He's resigned. And what's really interesting about his resignation letter is that he did continue to pledge his loyalty to the Conservative Party, but noticeably not to Boris Johnson. Now, of course, so you've got the Conservative Party chairman resigning. You've got the loss of a seat in the an ultra-safe seat to the Lib Dems. You've got the loss of a Red Wall seat to Labour. And I don't believe this is because Labour's fantastic or because Lib Dems fantastic. Lib Dems are fantastic because, believe you me, they are appalling. They're hopeless. But they're not hated in the way that the Conservative Party under Boris Johnson has become. So the punchline on it at one level is this. You know, this is a government in severe trouble. Don't let them try and tell you anything else. Obviously, Boris and Carrie are over in Rwanda at the moment discussing climate change, you know, the big issues that really matter to British people. And the optics of that are appalling as well. You know, at a time when his party just suffered two hammer blows, where was he? He was in Rwanda, which makes a change because he's normally in Ukraine. And this is the thing, Johnson is completely out of touch, to my mind anyway, with the British people. Completely out of touch. He thinks the things that matter to us is Rwanda and Ukraine. It's not. And we don't care about Rwanda, number one. And frankly, I don't think most people care about Ukraine. But when Boris was being accused of all the Partygate stuff, these were very, very, the Ukraine was a very helpful distraction. Boris could posture as this wartime leader, and he thought that would keep him safe. And it just about did when it came to the confidence vote, and just about. But remember, 41% of his own MPs voted against him. So for him to be unseated, only a further 9% have to switch, and he will no longer be Prime Minister. Now, the thing about that is, as we all know, that the Conservative Party rules mean that there can only be one sort of no confidence vote every 12 months. That's the rule as it sits at the moment. I suspect that rule will be changed. I suspect they'll move it to potentially every 6 months. And if they do that, then there'll be a leadership challenge in the late autumn. That's what's going to happen. I believe that is very likely to happen. And remember, the one thing that all MPs, all elected politicians have in common is, the one thing is a desire to be able to keep their jobs. And if I was a red wall Tory MP this morning, I would be panicking. If I was in a safe Conservative seat in the south of England, I would be panicking. Because I can see the percentage swings. And that is, you know, that's going to have a devastating impact on the Conservatives. So as things stand, I reckon if there was a general election tomorrow, regardless of what the polls say, the Tories are going to get smashed. That 2019 majority is going to be erased. Now, what we end up, I don't know. Would it be some kind of Labour, Lib Dem hybrid? I don't know. Might be. Would it be a minority, Conservative government that can't really have a majority in votes? Well, it might be, but honestly, on this kind of scale, it's not going to be a Conservative government at all. They will lose, you know, potentially hundreds of seats. So it's really interesting. Which I want to now expand this conversation a bit with you, because you see. The thing is, I mean, Boris is going to, he says he's going to keep on going. It's all about the cost of living from his Rwanda vantage point. It's all about cost of living, helping people out and all of this. But I think there is an ulterior motive. And let me take the next few moments to share that with you and tell me what you think. Am I being too conspiratorial? You see, I heard people in the past week or two on social media and on mainstream media talking about, you know, yeah, I voted Brexit, but would it really be so bad if we went back into the European Union? Would that be so bad? Right? I've heard that view. And I think that's being put out there deliberately. Because remember, the UK was never supposed to have left the European Union. That result, which we achieved in 2016, my friends, that was not what the globalists wanted. So here's the theory. So the people in 2016 voted to leave the European Union. That was deeply unhelpful to the globalists. Boris Johnson gets himself into power in 2019 by posturing as the guy who was going to deliver Brexit. Remember, he was going to get Brexit done. And look at what's happened. He didn't get Brexit done. The UK, in many regards, is still deeply mired in the European Union. If you look at our response over COVID, it echoed much of what they did. If you look at the response in Ukraine, it's actually even worse here in the UK. If you look at things like our cost of living crisis, it's arguably worse here in the UK. So all the hope and promise of Brexit has been frittered away by Boris Johnson, which then raises the question, is that what his role was? Was Boris Johnson levered in as Prime Minister so he could then take the next couple of years to, number one, be a good little globalist puppet, number two, totally mess up Brexit to the point where many Brexiteers, or some Brexiteers now might think, well, yeah, I voted to leave the European Union, but, you know, to be honest, this is such a cluster, you know what, I don't really care anymore. And is that a possibility that Boris has actually been carrying out a role during the past, since the end of December of 2019, whereby he has frittered away all the enthusiasm for a sovereign Britain to the point where now people are talking about, well, you know, if we remove him, if we get rid of him, who might be a front runner to replace him? Oh, Jeremy Hunt. Oh, the Jeremy Hunt who pretty much pro-EU, pretty much Remain. Another globalist, of course, as well. Another monster. But is that what the plan is? And I'm sorry, but if you think I'm too cynical, I don't think you can be cynical enough when it comes to politics. So, you know, we've seen the Conservatives absolutely humiliated overnight. No other word. These are devastating results. In a normal world, a prime minister would resign. This guy won't. He won't resign. He's going to have to be forced out of Downing Street. He has no integrity, but then everyone knew that or should have known that all along, right? So this guy doesn't want to go. But in the meantime, if you look back over his record, he's taken away our freedoms. He's imposed restrictions. He imposed vaccine mandates. He continues to do all that, of course. He has been a warmonger along with Biden when it comes to Ukraine. He's proven inept, unwilling to do anything to help deal with the immigration issues. And this notion of a prosperous, outward-looking UK post-Brexit is now lying in pieces. That's what the achievement of Boris Johnson has been. That's why I think generally there's a hatred for him. But and the other final aspect is, you know, the Conservatives have been in power one way or another since Gordon Brown was booted out at the end of the noughties. So after 13 years of Conservative government, I think people probably have had enough of this. You know, it's not become sufficiently different anymore, you know, and attractive to sustain people's interests. So I think we've got a tired, clapped out Conservative Party with no new ideas that have done things like, for example, raise taxes. They have abandoned the pensioner people class. But I know they're going to, next year we're going to bring back the triple lock. Yeah, but you took it away. You took it away. So pensioners can't trust them. Working people can't trust them. Business can't trust them. Richie Sunak is giving us the biggest corporation tax hike in years. And so you've got all that going on. At the same time as with the Partygate allegations, the double standards is probably the thing that will kill the Tories. More people should be concerned about what Boris Johnson did in 2020 and 21 with regard to the lockdowns, restrictions and all of that. I fear that's not the primary motive in this, but there'll be some people who aren't happy about that. And so when you add it all together, to me, the Conservative wipeout that we saw last night is just a foretaste of that which we're going to see come the general election. There's no way out of this one for this party. It's been there in that place for too long, and I'm afraid the writing is on the wall. Thanks for listening to this one. I know it's been a bit longer than normal, but there's a lot I wanted to say. Thank you so much. Catch you soon.